Okay, this is Chairman Brad Holton. I'm going to bring the meeting to order. We have a 2:30 agenda item, and it's going to be budget workshop, and we're going to be entertaining the topic of Employee Health Trust Board. So with that, I'll hand it over to you guys, and we'll allow you the opportunity to bring us up to date and where we're at.
Mr. Chair and Commissioners, thank you for having us back in front of you. It's been, I think, just about 8 to 9 months since the last time we sat in front of you having discussions about the current status of the health trust. Before I jump into this, I'd want to just point out to the board that our broker from Gallagher, Scott Howard, is also present here today. If you remember, he presented to you and kind of gave an analysis of what we as the health trust had come up with, and then them taking their actuarial look at all of our experience through our claims, our plan performance, and kind of put forth a plan for how to start to right the ship, so to speak. From that plan, this last plan cycle, there were some changes made on the employer contribution side and the employee contributions to start that process. So I guess without further ado, I'm going to kind of jump into where we currently stand today and the numbers you'll see. You have some handouts in front of you that do give you your FY26 actuals. So where we're currently stand is FY26. But this will give us a 5-year evaluation as we move through it. Without a whole lot, I mean, I don't want to belabor this because we've had these conversations before. I just want to kind of point out where we're going with this. So the slide you're looking at in front of you now is the employer and employee contributions revenue that we receive from the health trust. If you remember correctly, we are funded based on enrollment, not actual, I guess, full-time employees, which is how the county budgets. This is the trend line of revenue ticking up, the 2025 and then FY26, when we actualize, should see that continue to trend in the upward direction. But again, based on enrollments, vacancies create a huge problem in that factor, which creates an underfund based on what we have for expenses. The next slide you have in front of you is our total revenues that we've actualized over the last 5 budget years. The big highlight is FY25 with the big jump from $14 million in 24 to $18 million, and that accounts for the generous infusion the board gave the health trust last year of $3 million. That helped, as you'll see in a minute, stave off what could have potentially been catastrophic for the health trust. So let's go through our expenses. From 21 to 2025, there's about a $5.5 million increase in health insurance expenses, which is probably average for what the market has seen nationally. We're not immune from that, unfortunately. But if you look at what we, like I said, what we actualized in 25 as far as revenues with the infusion to what our expenses were at $17,385,000, it was the infusion that staved off the health trust really being in a bad way off. It gave us the opportunity to with what Director Danner did with the policy implementation and the way the premiums were structured, to have time to see that come to fruition, to actually see the plan go into place and see it perform. So then again, I break it down so you can see what medical claims are costing, year over year costs in medical claims. Being self-insured, we pay all of these. There's no pay-to-play. We're not in a pay-to-play system where we just pay a flat premium rate for the year, and that's our bill. Trending now, and what we've seen since January, where we were running about $250, $275 a week on weekly medical claims and pharmaceutical claims costs, and trending up to the $400, $500 range with some of those anomaly weeks, we're averaging $175 to $210, so the plan is working. Meaning the 80-20 cost sharing, people were better consumers with their health insurance, which is what the goal was of the plan, and the plan changes. We're starting to see that level out and be more consistent in the overall billing. Yes, ma'am.
Chairman, I have a question. So on some of that, two questions. First, do you think that people are delaying care that they might need because costs are so expensive, especially with the repeal of Obamacare and going back to a pre-approved system? Like, is it going to come back to bite us in the end where people wait until they have a major health crisis? Does anybody know that yet?
I don't know if we have the data to go down that road at this point. I would like to hope people aren't delaying based on any decisions that were made without their health insurance plan. I truly think it reflects better consumerism.
Okay.
It, as has been stated before, if you have more skin in the game, you tend to be a little more selective about the things you choose.
Mm-hmm.
And you tend to ask a little more questions of your providers and all of that to say, is this necessary? Is there an alternative? Things like that. Versus before when it was just 100% covered.
They right.
took that part of it out. So my hope is that there isn't delay and it's not going to come back in the end.
Okay, thank you. I didn't know if you had any data on that. And then
I don't.
The chairman, the second part of my question is, were we successful in getting a generic option rather than just the name brand? Is that part of this reduction in costs where there's people now have the option of going to a generic brand for drugs?
I think generics become more readily available. And Scott, maybe you can jump in and help me here. With any of the designer, the GLP-1s, anything as patents expire and things become generic eligible, costs shrink significantly.
Mm-hmm.
I think there has been some federal impact with some federal mandating on prescription costs and things that we've seen some of that. But as you'll see in a minute, our pharmaceutical trend state is pretty stable at the same rate. I mean,
okay.
I was just looking through, I mean, off topic, but looking through the jail pharmaceuticals because that new contract came up for play and there's some conversation in regards to jail medical pharmaceuticals. And the trend is the same there. It's an upward tick. They cost more. And I don't know if there's a solution to level that. But yeah, I think having generics more readily available, having a tiered structure gives people more options. I don't know if I'm looking for the right term here. The 90-day prescriptions versus the 30-day prescriptions have some cost savings. The ability to order online provides some cost savings. There's our provider itself, Blue Cross, is really started looking at that cost sharing, actually being more transparent, I should say. And how that cost sharing breaks out and anything
okay.
they save us money on as far as scripts goes.
And thank you. Well, I just thought that we were more locked in with the plan that we have on it rather than having an option of generics that they had to go name brand on some of that, which maybe, okay, Marty's shaking her head. No. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
So pharmaceutical claims. So, again, the trend is up, right? Year over year, those continue to trend up. And for reference, right now, we closed last year at 3,186,000, and our current pharmaceutical claims as of last income statement from the auditor's office is 1.6 million.
Wow.
So if that gives you the plan with, I mean, we're not even halfway through our plan cycle, right, of where those are trending as far as that goes. And just for reminder, we work on a fiscal, the plan works January to January. So at 1.6 million, this short way in just makes me a little nervous for how it's going to come out in the end. But there's always ebb and flow that I've seen so far. Medical admin fees. Saw a slight dip for 2025. I think those are starting to stabilize. We currently stand at 1.5 million for FY26 so far. I don't know what else to say about those. Unfortunately, that's the cost it does to be in the plan we're in and have the provider we have. So our cashed fund balance, you have your five-year trend on there from 2021, which again, that was coming out of COVID, right? So we had that artificial inflation, which unfortunately predicated some decisions that were made at the time. And then we had the downward trend as we started actually using our insurance again and getting back into a normal cycle. 2025 is an uptick of the $3 million infusion. Our balance as of right now is $2,253,746. Not dire from a standpoint because the plan is operating well. So where we were throwing buckets of money out the boat at one point, that leak is slowed significantly because the plan by design is working. We just need it to stay stable as it is. The nerves have always been the anomalies, like what do we do when we have a high claims month and we're averaging, instead of averaging around 400,000 a month, we do hit that $800 to $1 million mark. Pray that it doesn't happen, but at this point, we're starting to recapture some of the loss that we've seen initially, the runout for this year, this last planning year, was pretty expensive to the fund before the new premiums and all that stuff took place and the plan redesign and all that kicked in. It was a pretty scary run there for a minute, to be honest. But we've seen recapture happen over the last several billing cycles, which I think is a testament to the plan and performance.
Chairman, I have a question.
Yes.
What is the, where's your margin on what percentage of fund balance, and is it based on the number of claims or the amount of capital in there? What percentage do you, should we see, and then what's it based off of?
I mean, truly, I think with our IBNR, which is our incurred but not reported, and just a healthy fund balance based on where Gallagher's assessment was, we should be trying to maintain around $3.3 million in our fund.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, we're slightly under that. That was the hope coming out of the close of the plan year, where we actually saw our balance based on performance at about 5.2. But again, end of year run out, maybe there was some consumer fear with HRA ending and some people deciding I got to get everything done I can get done now. We anticipated that.
I would say yes. We anticipated a high run at the very end of the year, which is at the very first part of our fiscal year, just based on the over communication of your HRA is ending. So if and you can't use it past December 31st, we anticipated that, and that was expected. And as soon as January hit, that's when we saw those claims start to level out when the new plan went into effect. And so I wouldn't expect to see that happen at the end of this year.
Right.
And there's there's gives and takes in this whole thing, as you'll see as we move through, where our one point our HRA liability, because that's the money we would give employees for being part of our plan, was around $1 million. We don't have that liability against the account anymore. So what our actuals are is they are, because the HSA reimbursement option that is, it's payroll driven. So that's just a direct debit every pay period. So we don't have a dark looming cloud over our head of how are we going to cover that bill should everybody decide at one moment to go spend all that money.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives me a little more reprieve, and just watch the balance climb back up is really where it's at. I think every time a new bill comes out, you know, Kyle and I get on Teams real quick and go, woohoo. It's nice to see those lower claims bills coming through. So how do we plan for the future? So we're going to dive into kind of how our plan is performing. So our current county contributions, as approved last year during budget time, were $1,287 all in. So that's $1,225 for medical per employee per month and $62 for dental. That puts our medical contributions based on enrollment, right? Not what you guys budget based on actual FTE, but enrollment, what we should actualize for revenue at $11,245,000. Dental at about $576,000 for all in of $11,822,100. That's what we anticipate receiving in revenues based on enrollment. On the employee side, their medical contributions are about $1.9 million, dental's $253,000, vision's $149,000 for another $2.2 million in contributions there, bringing our total revenue from medical, dental, and vision to $14,128,518. That's better than it ever has been, and again, thanks to the board for agreeing to help shore up some of this shortage. Where it's hitting us hard though, our total medical and pharmaceutical for plan year 26 is estimated to be $13 million. Our medical admin's at 1.7, dental and vision are another almost $1 million. The SHA match is about $135,000 for the year. That puts our total plan cost at an estimated $15,902,000. So bringing those two together, it shows a potential underfund of $1.7 million. Now, that in itself is a very scary number, because you go look at your balance and go, we can't do this. What's not captured in here is stop-loss reimbursement, drug rebates. There's probably another $1.5 to $2 million in revenues that we do see. I didn't want to capitalize on an actual number, because they do fluctuate. But for instance, at this point in our plan year, we've seen $444,000 in drug rebates come back, and $585,000 in stop loss. For FY25, that was $2.9 million in stop loss and $925,000 in drug rebates. So that's $3 million. If we perform the same way and receive the same rebates, which I anticipate we will, stop loss scares me because that means our premiums are going to go through the roof when we see that. But that's still replacement of expense, so it counts as a revenue. It eats away at that and really shrinks our potential underfund down to around $700,000 or under, which is manageable, right?
And Chairman, does that mean that we break even on that, or does that, because if we try to meet your $3.3 million, then you're $700,000 short plus minus the $3.3 million. Does that make sense? So what are we looking at for actual cash injection that's needed to maintain a fund balance in the health trust fund that keeps us solvent?
We're going to get to that.
Okay.
As far as infusion goes, no, we're not coming back and saying, hey, can you open up the vault again and please infuse some cash? I think we have a good strategy moving forward.
Okay.
It's just going to, a lot of pieces need to fall into place to make it work. So the two options, and these again, are not dissimilar to the options that I did in 2023 and then 2024, is we do tend to have an underspend on what's budgeted versus what's actualized. And that's because we budgeted FTE and not at enrollment, which is the right way to do it because we have vacancies and we fill them. At the end of the year, there is unspent health and dental premiums that are appropriated in every department's budget and every elected's budget. And if they go unspent, with the exception of last year, which is an anomaly because we actualized those early, we essentially took them as part of the $3 million injection. But historically, years before that, if the board remembers correctly, I looked at a five-year trend of what was returned to the fund balances of the respective funds, and that was close to $4 million that had a decision been made years ago to just roll that into the health trust would have gone a long way to stabilize the fund and could have negated the need for the $3 million infusion. So what we're asking for is depending on the needs of the county, and that's always, that was the question we had last time when we talked about doing this, if there's a way to either actualize the entirety of the unspent or a portion of the unspent as, I guess, essentially an infusion to the health trust, and then, I guess, work through a couple different models of what it looks like to actualize the full county portion of the premium contributions. When the brokerage presented their presentation, I believe their numbers were like $1,339 all in on the county's portion based on market, based on needs of the health trust and insurance costs. And at this point, we're sitting at about $1,287 on the county's portion. So it was about a $52 difference. And so I'm not going to come in prematurely and say, oh, we need it to be $150 because the plan's performing well. We are in a position of an underfund based on what actuaries have said the plan's going to cost us. Closing out 25 at $17 million was higher than I thought. I was figuring like 16.2 to 16.4. We don't know. That I don't want to come in and say, oh, it's got to be $18 million in funding or we're going to go broke. Realistic.
So, Chairman, can I ask maybe the captain obvious question, but the underfund went back to current expense and not to a dedicated line where, like, we allocated so much for that unspent or that portion that we would allocate for that. But you're proposing that we take the unspent and rather than going back to current expense, it goes back into feeding and funding the health trust.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at all of the county budgets, I mean, most run pretty true to their budgeted number. I mean, they're small departments. There's not a lot. There's no overspent. Sometimes they're overspent, depending on how those work. The biggest current expense is a big one because there's a lot of big offices under the commissioners in current expense. The sheriff's office is another big one that through vacancies creates a significant fund balance in the area of health and dental. And there's some smaller other ones, but the bulk of those come via the current expense and the justice fund. The ask would be that either once we actually have an idea of what that looks like and what the actual budget expenditure will be for this year, whether it's 92, 96% spend and what those balances projections look like, an agreeable number of, rather than return to fund balance, maybe a portion goes to the health trust.
Right. Yeah, that'll be a really a million-dollar question.
Just to clarify that, how each fund is budgeted, that's where that money would go back into. So it wouldn't all go into current expense. It would all go into each fund that we have that we levy for. So you'd have district court, you know, justice, all those, because it's part of their budget, like the A, the B, and all that. So that chunk would go to that. It doesn't all just go into current expense.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
And then how he was talking, if there were to be a rollover, it would be much like the injection. It would be like proportionate, right? So it wouldn't just like maybe all come from one fund. It would come proportionally from each of them, assuming there is something that's left over.
Okay. Thank you.
And again, these are suggestions. It makes me nervous to sit at a fund balance where we're at and not have some plan in place. And I know that in years past, it's caused frustrations that conversations hadn't occurred earlier, which is part of the predication for asking to be in front of you sooner to put this on the table, because it could be a big financial impact depending on the decision that is made on how to stabilize the fund. But I don't want to get to a position where we're having to come in front of you and ask for a ginormous infusion again, because that's not comfortable either. And it's not good practice on our part as the stewards of the health trust to let it get to a point like that.
Yeah, well, here's what I'm going to say, Chairman. When I came here, the board didn't even have eyes on the health trust. I looked at the historical, and it should have been coming before the board. We've significantly improved this since Lieutenant Flores took it over. He's got a great mind for numbers, and I just really jumped in. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for what you bring. I appreciate you negotiating and working. I've seen you get very passionate about what happens here with this fund. So that's good. That's a good watchdog to have on this account. And really, I'm going to look at Kyle again. So we're going to have to be evaluating our unspent portion of the budget against what the hard costs are for things that have to be, that there's a margin in there. And I don't think we want to be in a position where we spend 100%. Of any of that.
Yeah, commissioners, and that's that thing where at the end of the year you look at it, and you know, hypothetically, if there's 800,000 left in that line at the end of the year, you could just do half of it. Maybe you could do 400 or 500, or just decide to do all that's kind of left in like the health insurance line or something like that. And that's where, like you said, we get to the end of the year and kind of see where we're at and see how things are going and make a decision there. But as Martin was saying, that's, you know, technically if we happen to be just fully staffed for the county the whole time, all that money would all be spent, technically all be contributed to the health trust to pay for premiums and everything anyways. So that's, you know, in theory, it's what it's there for. So.
Thank you. And Chairman, just one more comment. I think maybe what we're seeing, again, we had this in the last meeting with our LGIP evaluation, but at the federal level, the medical platform is changing, where they're unwinding Obamacare and it's going back to pre-authorized conditions and increased costs for healthcare. So I think all of that is going to roll down. It can't all fall for government employees on the tax base to do that. There's going to be an expected contribution. It has to be, because the costs are escalating in a way that one group can't bear all of that. Yeah. Everybody's going to have to pony up.
I agree.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I don't know whether to be happy or cry.
Yeah, and I do have another question. So this is one proposal to have that roll back over. I think it's just like we're doing with our fleet fund, where if there is a vehicle claim and then the insurance company reimburses, rather than having that go back to the current expense, we are now dedicating it back to that line item so that we can continue funding in perpetuity. So if this were, I know that our numbers are early and we don't know yet, and there's some questions about where we're going to finish with claims, but is there another piece to this puzzle, Lieutenant, that you would advise as a contribution? Or do you think that if we have a dedicated portion coming back, that that will cover us?
I mean, if we want to get down to it, if the value was half, and I think, if I remember correctly, when when Clerk Hogaboom and I went down this road last year and the year before, it was, mm-hmm. I can't do full but half. And if you do half, then we talk about employee premium increases. And some of the things that took place, we made the decision not to seek the rollback, allow that to return to fund other projects. And then the infusion was the only way to go, right? It just got to be that dire. So in an effort to negate that from ever occurring again, it seems that the rollback plus a potential county portion premium increase even, you know, could be, I guess, give total value, give a whole number of value, right?
Okay.
So it's 400,000, let's throw out round numbers. 400,000 is the rollback. And if the board agreed that they'll go ahead and increase to the 1339, which is $52 more, that's additional $485,000 in premium costs year over year the county would pay. That's $800,000 in new money coming in that we didn't actualize before.
Yeah.
A one-time rollover plus some new premium revenues. So, yeah, it goes a long way if you're potential underfunded. If revenues perform how they should and we actualize our full stop loss, which, again, is not a great thing, but it does help, and our drug rebates and all those other things come in, and if you're looking at $700,000 to $800,000 underfunding and receiving $800,000 back, that gives us a net wash for the year. So we maintain and we survive one more year, which gives Director Danner the opportunity to continue trying to work to find alternative solutions to our health insurance.
Right. And Chairman, I think it's important, and Marty, maybe you can speak to this, but employee contributions did not increase for a number of years, almost a decade, I think, if that's...
For as long as I have been able to research, employee contributions were zero, unless you were covering your employee yourself was a zero contribution. And that did change for this calendar year of 2026. But we also asked for the county to increase theirs because the counties hadn't increased in for a period of 15 to 17 years either. And so we, last year in all of our discussions, we talked about taking baby steps to try to right the health trust and what that means. So we added employee side contributions. We asked the county to increase theirs, this portion that they could afford for this fiscal year. So as we come back, this is just another one of those baby steps where we are asking for another little bump from the county to be able to continue to try to right this fund. But in working with our broker and talking in very, very early talks about renewal, we are seeing a trend of stop loss renewals coming back at an incredible increase no matter how the plan is running. And so I think as you move forward in trying to make a decision on how to fund moving into the future, we need to, even though we don't have a detail of what our renewal will look like, we need to keep that thought in place that stop loss renewal is going to increase probably by double digits. And so we need to keep that in mind as we ask for funding for the next fiscal year, even though we know that our plan runs on a calendar year. And I know that is awkward, but yes.
Yeah. And I think that's the right thing. I heard you talking about that earlier, and it would be confusing if we were not on a calendar year, I think. So that's just my personal opinion. But the other thing I think to remember is that with the lack of ask from the employees to contribute to their healthcare costs, I don't know too many businesses where that happens like that. And so in the absence of that, that means taxpayers were funding that. And the other thing that I wanted to say is that the county did try to mitigate that. And I don't think that there was a proposal to help underwrite the cost of part of that, but it was a retention factor. So that $2,000 mm-hmm. that was given. So it was about a $50 a month. I don't know what it was for other people, but $50 a month. But that was a wash, basically. It offset that increased cost of the premium. So inherently, it is the right thing to do because everybody in the private sector, and I don't know if you've checked other public sector agencies to see what's happening, but that is a realistic reflection of the market and what's happening with healthcare across the country. So...
Yeah, our current employee premium paid, our employee portion, is very aligned with our neighbors, with our Ada counties and our Kootenai counties. What the percentage of how we have split that up for this calendar year of 2026 is right in line with what they are asking their employees to pay also.
Okay. Thanks, Marty. And thank you, Lieutenant. Just great information. I really appreciate, again, the watchdog that you are for this account and the way that you've spearheaded the leadership for what happens in a really critical area. We are obligated as a self-funded organization. We have to maintain solvency in this account to continue to pay claims that are incurred by our employees.
Thank you.
So with that said, this commissioner is not going to be in a position to bail you out at all this year, period. And it's a little bit frustrating to talk about back funding it when we had to take $3 million from other places that had places for it to go and support this. So I personally don't understand that $3 million in the pot keeps it solvent and keeps it running. I would think you need to build it way above $3 million. So I would like you to come back with a plan that has a suggestion of what the participants are going to be asked to increase in the county so we can start building our pot way above $3 million. I don't think we have a track record to be proud of. We have a track record to be embarrassed of, and we need to build some kind of margin that we can survive, whatever that is, 2 or 3 years of not good, because we're where we're at because we made a one-time decision that we don't have the luxury to make a second one-time decision. Even if it was half of that, it'd be pretty tough to choose to shut down other areas of the county just to keep this running. So that's what I'm interested in hearing.
We can work on that.
For sure.
Okay.
And Chairman, I appreciate your comments. I really do. Part of the reason that we're in the position that we are is some of the decisions that prior to Lieutenant taking over, prior to Director Danner being here, prior to this board being in place, those decisions were made without a lot of evaluation for long-term effects on fiscal policy. So just for the record.
Agreed. Good,
yep.
Good point. Important point.
Yeah. And I've never seen this level of involvement from that trust board until Lieutenant Flores got involved. So again, I think that's worth celebrating. He's done just a great job stepping into the sheriff's office. If we're in need of a financial partner there, that's critical for what makes up at least half of the county's budget. So we like good, competent people in place.
So Director Danner, you'd spoken of double-digit increase. Are we talking 10? Are we talking 20? Are we talking 15?
Let me allow Scott from Gallagher to actually speak to that. He sees what's coming back so far from other public agencies of where they partner with. So
okay. Perfect.
Yeah, so there are a lot of different components, right? So what we see throughout the market is that medical claims, and it's driven some by the reduction in government reimbursement, some by advances in medical technology, some by just cost increases that providers are seeing. But we're seeing medical claims going up at a clip of about 9 or 10% a year. We're seeing pharmacy claims go up at a clip of 12 or 13% a year. And a lot of that increase is driven on the really high end of things, where we're seeing more and more claims that can come in at hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, even on an ongoing basis with some of the treatments that we see. That is causing stop loss insurance to go up at a clip of 20 or 30% a year. So you bundle all of those things together. Like they mentioned, we're seeing, since the plan changes and some of the contribution changes went into effect since January, we're seeing the plan run well. We have still some history that we have to consider when we project forward. But if you had to ask us today, how much should we budget for a cost increase for next year, we would say about 12%. With all of those things factored in.
Sure.
And Marty, Chairman, can I ask a question? What I thought I heard you say was that, and I, could you refresh our memory first of all for question one? What is our stop loss? Is it 250,000?
Through the GEM plan today, it's 125.
Okay, and so is the stop loss amount going to go up, meaning that would translate to we would have to then fund not at 125,000, we would have to fund maybe 150,000. So that portion there.
Possibility.
Okay.
Like multiple, that's what we go, when we say we're gonna go to market, that's what we're going to market to look for.
Okay.
Our best stop loss provider, amount, what we can afford, all of those.
And the more employees that hit the stop loss increases the premium. So it is a domino effect.
Yes.
And so it's good if people take care of, hopefully it's back to the conversation that I started with, that people are not going, the double negative, that they would go if they need to go. And if they don't go and they delay, that's just a delayed liability, because early detection, all of that stuff is critical in keeping cost containment. That's a part of the plan. So hopefully.
I mean, I can, Gallagher, Scott can speak to it as well, but Trend would not tell you that people are not going to the doctor.
Okay.
When they need to go. I do not think it's a delayed liability.
Okay.
I think people are going to the doctor when they need to go to the doctor. What I think is happening is people might not be going to the doctor for things that they used to go to the doctor for because it was paid for at 100%.
Okay.
That is something that is, that they didn't, maybe they don't need to, maybe they don't feel they need to go to the doctor for.
Elective surgeries,
yes,
things like that.
Or,
okay.
Or maybe just a slight cold, or maybe just a slight virus or something like that, that maybe they're just fighting on their own right now.
Okay.
But I think that we don't have this report, but our use of, we could get the report of usage of our preventative care. Like, people are going to the doctor for their preventative care. That is still covered at 100%.
Yeah.
And so what the hope is because there is a fee and a charge when you go to the doctor when something is wrong with you, that employees are going to the doctor for all of their preventative care so that something doesn't happen.
Right.
Preventative care is covered at 100%.
Yep.
So we're hoping that that usage is at a very high level, so they're preventing everything from happening that's going to cost more money later,
right,
which would be that delayed liability.
And thank you. I really appreciate that, because we don't want people to not go. We want people to go get the care that they need, and then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
It's good discussion.
Good discussion. Comments before we. So we'll get to see you back here after more numbers.
Yes, sir.
And kind of coalesce. Some draft suggestions that we can consider.
One comment about that, though. We can put numbers together, but it's not going to be based on what the true renewal will be, right?
Great.
When you go to usually put numbers in front of your decision makers, it's because you have plans ready to show them to where to way do you want to go. Because of the difference in our fiscal year and our plan year, we're actually not going to have those accuracy numbers. So we are going to be presenting numbers that are going to be based on expected increase on what that might mean, when we might not be sure what that actual increase is at the time we present.
Right.
So, Chairman, can I ask a question for Scott then? So you're in the gambling business is what I hear. And when do you have projected numbers for increases that will be, you've done this a lot, I'm sure. And so, would anticipate that you're dialed in within 1-2% on what those numbers will be.
Typically, yeah. So that 12% that I mentioned earlier is based on looking back 2 years and projecting forward, a year and a half from now to the end of the next plan year. And so it's not crazy early to make that projection, but always the closer we get to the beginning of either the fiscal or the plan year, the more accurate the projection gets. We've been a little bit surprised this year with some of the stop loss renewals that we've seen, which has an impact. We expect to have that from GEM plan sometime in June, I think. So that will help to really narrow things down, and we'll have some other market information at that time too that will.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your partnership. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Chairman, I move we adjourn.
Sure. So, motion's been made and seconded for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Let's consider ourselves adjourned. Thanks.